Welcome to Zichru Daf Siman. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldner. Today we're Masechet Shabbos Daf Tes Vav. This will be a shorter session because I want to get this to you before Shabbos. So the 3 points we're going to focus on. Number one, Rav Huna stated that Hillel and Shammai only argued in three cases. Number one, what's the minimum amount of flour required that the dough would be subject to separation challah? Secondly, what's the minimum amount of drawn water, maim shu'uvim, that will disqualify a mikvah, that will be posel mikvah? And number three, if a woman becomes a nida, is retroactively declared tameh from the time of her last examination. Now, Rav Huna's list did not include cases where that particular halakha had already been disputed in previous generations. In addition, Rav Huna only included cases in which Hillel and Shammai never came to an agreement. So again, the three malchukas were about the minimum amount of flour required that the dough would be subject to the separation of challah, what's the minimum amount of drowned water, maim shuvim, that would disqualify a mikvah, and if a woman who becomes a nida is retroactively declared tameh from the time of her last examination. Number two, one of the decrees of the early Tanaim was that the land outside Eretz Yisrael was to be considered tamei. Der gazu tumal Eretz ha'amim. The Gemara clarifies the background of this decree. So Yossi ben Yoezer Ish Sarida and Yossi ben Yochanan and Ish Yerushalayim decreed that the land of Eretz Yisrael is considered tamei. Their concern was that since the idolaters did not mark their graves, any place in their lands was suspect of containing a grave. And unmarked graves were also more likely to be plowed over, resulting in scattered bone fragments. Therefore, if truma came in contact with its dirt, the truma would not be allowed to be eaten. However, the truma was also not allowed to be burned either. In the words of the Gemara, the truma is suspended. Then, the Rabbanim, 80 years before the destruction by Sheni, later expanded the decree to include its airspace as well. They were concerned about the graves imparting truma via the roof truma to someone passing over it. And finally, in Usha, the rabbis added a stringency and required burning truma that came in contact with dirt from the Eretz Amim. However, truma that came in contact with the airspace of Eretz Amim would still remain with its status of being suspended. And finally, point number three, Yossi ben Yoezer and Yossi ben Yochanan decreed that glassware should be susceptible to truma. Rav Yochanan said in the name of Reish Lakish that the reason why they enacted this decree is that since glassware comes from sand, a type of earth, you should have the same halacha as earthenware, which is susceptible to tumah. All right, so let's do a review. Number one, Rav Huna stated that Hillel and Shammai only argued in three cases. What's the minimum amount of flour required that dough would be subject to the separation of challah? What's the minimum amount of drawn water, maim shu'uvim, that will disqualify a mikveh? And if a woman became a nida, is retroactively declared tameh from the time of her last examination. Now, Rav Huna's list did not include cases where that particular halacha had already been disputed about in previous generations. And in addition, Rav Huna only included cases in which Hillel and Shammai never came to an agreement. Number two, one of the decrees of the early Tanaim was that the land outside Eretz Yisrael was to be considered tameh. There were gazu tuma al Eretz Amim. The Gemara clarifies the background of this decree. Yossi ben Yoezer Ish Sarida and Yossi ben Yochanan Ish Yerushalayim decreed that land outside of Eretz Yisrael is considered tameh. Their concern was that since the idolaters did not mark their graves, any place in their lands was suspect of containing a grave. And unmarked graves were also more likely to be plowed over, resulting in scattered bone fragments. Therefore, if truma came in contact with its dirt, the truma would not be allowed to be eaten. However, the truma was not allowed to be burned either. In the words of the Gemara, the truma is suspended. Then the Rabbanim, 80 years before the destruction of Bais Sheni, later expanded the decree to include its airspace as well. They were concerned about the graves imparting truma via roof truma to someone passing over it. And then finally, in Usha, the rabbis added a chumrah stringency that required burning truma that came in contact with its dirt. However, truma that came in contact with the airspace of Eretz Amim would still remain with its status of being suspended. And finally, point number three, Yossi ben Yoezer and Yossi ben Yochanan decreed that glassware should be susceptible to truma. Rav Yochanan said in the name of Reish Lakish that the reason why they enacted this decree is that since the glassware comes from sand, which is a type of earth, it should have the same halacha as earthenware, which is susceptible to truma. All right, so now we go to our siman. So the siman for Tezvav is a fruit bowl. And the way we got to fruit bowl was Tezvav reminds us of Tu B'Shvat. Tu B'Shvat is fruit. And a fruit bowl gives them a little more room in terms of our siman. So here we go. The fruit bowl is used to mix dough and drawn water together because someone put earth from chutzarts into the glass bowl made from sand, making it tameh. Once again, it's a motion. The fruit bowl reminding us we're on Tav Tezvav. The fruit bowl was used to mix dough and drawn water together, which reminds us the Rav Huna stated that Hillel and Shammai only argued in three cases. What's the minimum amount of flour required that the dough would be subject to the separation of challah? Secondly, what's the minimum amount of drawn water, maim shu'uvim, that will disqualify a mikvah? And if a woman became a nida, is retroactively declared tameh from the time of her last examination. So the fruit bowl was used to mix dough and drawn water together because someone put earth from chutzarts into the glass bowl, So the earth from Chutzaratz reminds us that one of the decrees of the early Tanaim was that land outside of Eretz Yisrael was to be considered Tamri. They were Gazru Tuma al Eretz Ami. And the more clarify the background of this decree. Yossi ben Yoezri, Yisraelin Yossi ben Yochanan, Yishulayim decreed that outside of Eretz Yisrael, the land is considered Tamei. Their concern was that since idolaters did not mark their graves, any place in their lands was suspect of containing a grave. And unmarked graves were also more likely to be plowed over, resulting in scattered bone fragments. Therefore, if Truma came in contact with its dirt, the Truma would not be allowed to be eaten. However, the Truma was not allowed to be burned either. In the words of the Gemara, this Truma is suspended. Then, the Rabban of 80 years before the destruction by Sheni later expanded the decree to include its airspace as well. They were concerned about the graves imparting Tumah via roof Tumah to someone passing over it. And then finally in Usha, the rabbis added a Chumrah and required burning Truma that came in contact with its dirt. However, Truma that came in contact with the airspace of the Eretz Amim would still remain with its status of being suspended. So the fruit bowl was used to mix dough and drawn water together because someone put earth from Chutzaratz into the glass bowl made from sand, making a Tameh. Which reminds us that Yossi ben Yoezer and Yossi ben Yochanan decreed that glassware should be susceptible to Tumah. Rav Yochanan said in Imre Shulakish that the reason why they enacted this decree is that since glassware comes from sand, a type of earth, it should have the same halach as earthenware, which is susceptible to Tumah. So once again, the fruit bowl is used to mix dough and drawn water together because someone put earth from Chutzaratz into the glass bowl made from sand, making it Tameh. So there we go for Daf Tezvav in Shabbos. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar wishing you a great day, great learning, and a great Shabbos.